CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. We've got the burning platform later on, which I know everybody's excited about, and plenty more to come. It's going to be a busy day, as always. We hope to get it off to the right start for you. So let's take a look at the roll call for this morning. We have Pinky Mokeman.
Hey, Gareth.
How are you, Pinks?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
Good. Someone was asking about you yesterday, actually, so it's ironic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone was saying, where's Pinky, my homegirl?
Oh.
Someone from the Freestadt.
I don't know anyone from the Freestadt.
Ah, no.
Not anymore.
How long have you been up here already?
It's my third year now, hey?
Wow.
Yeah,
then you pretty much. Listen, you're Joburg after 3 months. You
exactly.
Don't have to stay 3 years. People in Joburg don't give a shit where you're from. In Cape Town, the reverse is true. Like, they only care about other Cape Townians. Even if you've been there, and I've got friends who moved to Cape Town 15 years ago. Cape Townians are like, yo, you're from Joburg, right? Like 15 years they've been living there, and it's just it's a clicky thing. Durban people, Cape Town people, Bloemfontein people come to Joburg. Joburg people are like, hey, yeah, which neighborhood are you in?
Yeah, that's true.
That's all they give a shit about. Anyway, Sia's here.
Good morning. Good
morning, Sia Sangweni. We've got Mbulelo.
Yes, you do. I'm
here. Are you doing Mbulelo?
I'm great, as always.
And Mfundo is busy running things, making sure your podcasts are up and getting all the shit together, because he knows better than anyone else what it's like to be a listener when things aren't working and it's annoying as hell.
That's why
we hired him.
We also have to do a special greeting to Mbulelo's T-shirt, which has a dog sticking out of a car window, high-fiving a human being.
Do you know, I wouldn't have even noticed
I
that.
Don't.
Well, I noticed that.
Now that you
see it. Yeah. Okay. So
I don't know what that is. I don't understand the context.
Did you buy that, or did you get that made? Like,
oh, here's the fashion police.
It came.
I'm just asking.
It came to me in a dream, and I had to have it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want an update on
the king.
I want an update on the office politics, because it's good that Pinky's here. She's like, basically, she's HR, right? So I want to know, in the last 2 months, you know, since we've been back at work, what are the major political issues in the office? Is Jane still making everybody nervous? Who's fighting with who? Is there any tension anywhere I need to know about? And let's let the audience know, because they're, of course, part owners of what's going on here too. So everybody wants to know, Pinky. Give us
so
a little
talking
update.
About Jane, the key instigator
yeah.
most with every fight. So Mbulelo and Jane had a bit of a maybe not a bit of, but World War III happened here. When was
what?
It? Like 2 weeks? I know.
I didn't even know about this.
It was quite hectic, hey?
What happened?
Oh, no, Gareth, you wouldn't know about it, because
I know about Friday fights. Is
yes, I was about
it
to say.
It wasn't a Friday,
it
actually.
Happened on a designated Friday fight.
So what is a Friday fight, first of all?
So a Friday fight, every Friday, there has to be a fight.
Mm.
So even if you guys are happy, someone has to get into a fight.
Oh, right, so it's mandatory.
Yeah.
Well, we're civilized
even
enough.
Even if everybody's getting along great.
Look, it doesn't matter. Somebody has to be in a fight. And Jane will most of the time be part of it, you know?
Oh, she likes that, yeah.
Yeah, she's always, thing. Yeah. Friday fight could even happen on a Monday with Jane. Yeah.
We're civilized enough not to instigate drama during the week.
Exactly.
You know, we get pent up and we save it for Friday.
That's amazing.
Mm. It's amazing.
Yeah, because
his staff are going to be bloodied.
It's great. I mean, it's like
amazing.
Gladiatorial combat in ancient Rome. You know, people used to line up around the city to get into the Colosseum or to the Circus Maximus to watch people fight and fight to the death. And it's good in an environment like a work environment for that competitive edge to be kept really sharp.
Yes.
I like that.
So
this
what happened?
Is good.
What happened?
How did this one go down?
Mbulelo, are you okay? Because you're seeming a bit different now that I mentioned it. Hey?
No.
You're fine. Okay.
No, the truth must always come out. It has no way to hide.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was
free.
Over cold drink. Cold drink that was in the fridge and disappeared. So you know, and this cold drink belonged to Oz Jane.
Oh, shit. Okay. You went and had a cold drink?
Yes, yeah. Oh, no, tell the story.
Yeah.
You got to let the story unfold.
So she kept on asking everyone, like, hey, did you drink my cold drink? But you know how she asked, right? Like, there's going to be some violence involved. Like, yeah, did you drink my cold drink?
Mm-hmm.
And the last two people, it was Mfundo Second last person she asked was Mfundo. So she walked up to him like, Mfundo, did you drink my cold drink? He's like, no, why would I do that? And the last person was Mbulelo.
So she'd been through everyone else and then she got to Mbulelo. And that's what it. Was...
And you were sitting in the other office.
Yeah.
She summoned him.
All right. Into the middle of the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Our main working area.
She challenged him to
it's
a
like,
duel.
Come here. What did you say? And he's like, yeah, I drank it. You know Mbulelo, right? Yeah, I drank it.
Mbulelo has no qualms. He will not feed into the drama.
Congratulations, you owned it. And that infuriates Jane even more because she wants you to deny it so that she can prove you wrong and beat you to death with that.
And, you know, I love Aus Jane because she's also my petty sister. We're very alike in our pettiness. Yeah. Mbulelo even stood up and was man enough to replace the cold drink with another one. And Aus Jane just let it sit in the fridge. She said it's
she
not
won't drink it.
I actually drank it yesterday.
Because it's been sitting there for 2 weeks and no one was drinking it.
Do you know, I mean, this might sound
She's
really,
like, I want the same one.
This might sound really stupid, but the funny thing is that people... these things happen in all offices. Around stuff that's in the fridge. Usually it's around food or, you know, where someone sits or if someone uses someone else's pen or... This happens in every business in the world. There isn't a single place where the territories, what we call... You've got your bubble. You've got your magisterium, your space around you.
Ooh, and that's a nice yours. Word. Magisterium.
And for some people, it's their workstation. For some people, it's their coffee mug. For some people, it's the lunch they put in the fridge or in the microwave. And man, you can have severe blowouts over this stuff.
Yeah, I probably didn't help the situation where when I said, oh, yeah, I drank it and I don't even feel ashamed about it. And I mean, things were already heightened to that point.
Yeah.
That probably didn't help.
Dun, us. Dun, dun.
Yeah. It didn't do anything for the diplomacy.
This is not on video, by the way.
Jesus. Oh, that line still cuts deep.
Yeah, it didn't help.
Like, yeah, I don't really care. Yeah. Like, uh-oh.
I feel
Jane
nothing.
Turned a deep shade of maroon she at did. That point.
No, I saw her soul coming to.
All right,
to
so
level me.
Has it all been resolved, or is there still tension?
I'd say there's more of a moratorium than there has been a solution. You know.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably letting it bubble over, and then tomorrow something else will happen. And you ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend who saves stuff, and it's like. When you have a fight, it's actually about 10 fights before. And it's like, that other time, and my mother was right.
And then it's that one straw that breaks the camel's back.
Plus, basically. You always leave your underwear on the floor. Plus, your penis is small or whatever. Sorry.
What's happened to you a lot.
What's going on
sorry,
here?
Sorry. I shouldn't be confessing things.
But this is a good point because there are people, especially the passive-aggressive types, who instead of confronting a thing, will let various small things build up to a point where it's no longer... navigable.
Yeah.
You can't get out. You can't get in. You're a disaster. Everything about you is hateful.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I'm the opposite. Opposite.
You prefer to go straight for the jugular. I've seen you do this before. Pinky and Bulelo, they're not like, they're not the kind of people to mull things over and to let things slide. Mm-hmm. They want to get it out there, deal with it immediately. You always know how these two feel. Whereas with Sia, Jane... Fundo, Dari, Greg, pretty much everyone else in the office. They, that's fine. Meanwhile,
actually,
hatred is stewing.
I've plotted your death to a T in my mind.
I love it. Hey guys, I'm listening to the saga of Sia's phone. You see, some people are only catching up to this now. This is what happens with podcasts.
2 weeks back. Okay.
I had to laugh. Last year, living in New Zealand, I tracked my iPhone roaming all over our neighborhood. After it stayed put for a few hours, I Google mapped the address, ready to get the cops involved, only to realize it was the recycling depot, and I'd thrown my phone into the recycling bin with my unwanted mail.
Oh no.
Felt like such a tit. A few months later, I got a call. Someone sorting the recycling found the phone, and I got it back in perfect condition. True story. Still using the phone today. That's what they call news in New Zealand.
Yeah. That's a scandal.
I had a phone, and then I was sorting my. No, I mean I'm making fun of Lee here, but that's the truth. And like in New Zealand, that's about as close to crime as you get. You know?
Shame.
I threw it into the trash and then somebody found it and they called me back a month later. And what I love about this, Lee, is that you didn't bother to go and...
Yeah, why didn't you go and pick it up? Because she knew exactly where it was. Like, she and the fact that it was a recycling...
Lee, I've got to admit, you're bringing the tone of New Zealand down a few rungs because you just left your phone in the trash.
And then she says a couple of months later, someone called. Not even weeks.
Bulelo, guys, the things he says, I can't. I love and I hate him at the same time. That is from Patiswa.
Fair enough.
Love and hate at the same time, Bulelo. That doesn't make for great relationships. Hey, guys, with regard to Gareth wasting all the food from last weekend, there is a startup in Austria that has created an app called Too Good To Go that you can get leftovers from a shop for a much better price. It's like an Uber service app, but you have to pick it up yourself, and you just book and pay for it, and then collect the food between the time the shop allocates for you. Very awesome. Imagine an app for home-cooked food waste. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Mm. What did you end up doing with it? Do you still have... What did you say, lasagna? No,
I did give a lot of it back to the people who were there in a way, and I said to them, take this before you go. So it wasn't like there was mountains of stuff, but I just... I hate it. And frankly, I think there are a lot of people who'd prefer a home-cooked meal to takeaways.
For sure.
Especially in the neighborhood. Like, I'm not speaking of people who want to travel across, you know, provincial lines to get food. That's not going to happen. But if you've got a really good lasagna or you've got some kind of, in this case it was pastas, so it was penne arrabbiata and like spaghetti bolognese, for example. Mm. Now that's good mince, it's good pasta, there's nothing wrong with it. You don't want to throw it away. So there's possibly a gap. What I'm reading here is that there's possibly a gap for someone in South Africa to create some kind of an app and develop some sort of business around that. So thanks, Richard.
But you know, this also falls into life rule number 72. Mm-hmm. When you start to live alone out of living from home, and you have to figure out your perfect ration of buying groceries and how much you cook and whatnot. Because otherwise, like when I started living alone, I had so much food left over. Yeah. I would end up eating. I'd have to eat the same meal like for 3 days straight just to make sure it's finished.
Oh, no.
Before you, because you have to, otherwise it's all going to go to waste. And then you end up having to Google random recipes to make sure that all of the ingredients in your fridge is used up before it goes off. Up until you find that balance of, okay, actually, I don't need to go shopping every week and this is what I need and this can last me longer. Life rule number 72, folks.
I didn't know it was 72. That was the most interesting thing.
It is. It is.
All right.
Life rule number one is you have to see them before they see you.
Oh.
It's also a good rule.
Let us know if there's any particular issue of conflict in your office at the moment and whether or not that's something that you can get past or if you're one of those people who holds on to it like Sia, for example, or Jane. Where now that Bulelo, I didn't know you'd gone to the trouble of buying a replacement.
Oh, I'm a great man.
Oh, clearly.
Oh.
a great man. A great man. Okay, well, sorry, Napoleon. Let's all stop the presses because, you know, Charlemagne the Great here.
Have I not made that abundantly clear?
Julius Caesar managed to replace someone's, Coke Zero or something.
All hail.
I'm very, very sorry that I haven't made it abundantly clear how great
I am. Well done to you.
Or, you know, all it takes is one move. And I think we will have war here every single day. If the microwave were to move into the main working space, we'd have fights every day. It's the little things that set people off.
Here's a message on something we've been talking about all week. Jermaine says, I watched Bombshell last night. Mm. That's the movie I've been talking about with Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie. By the way, Margot Robbie's in every third movie at the moment, right?
Mm.
She really is cleaning up. And that girl is a damn fine actor in Bombshell as well.
Oh, she's
give
such a bombshell.
Isn't she great?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
She really is. Mm. She's magnificent. Like, there are a couple of scenes in this movie where she's playing this really naive, really frightened, really kind of innocent young girl from the Midwest who's come to Fox News to work, you know. And she plays this role so well. But there are a couple of scenes where she doesn't have any makeup on, and you really just... You have to appreciate that this woman is just genetically gifted with brilliant looks. Quite apart from her acting ability, she is just an absolute stunner. I remember I saw her for the first time. What was it in? was it? One of her first movies. See if you can look that up on like IMDb or whatever. I thought, oh, holy Jesus. Because you remember there was a time when everybody was talking about Megan Fox. And then she became really like dirty and trashy.
Oh, after Transformers and whatnot.
Yeah, and Megan Fox, I know there are probably still some people who really, they would like her no matter what. But I kind of fell off the Megan Fox train a while ago. And then was very quickly replaced by Margot Robbie. What was the movie that she was in right in the beginning?
Maybe you're talking about Focus with Will Smith. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot with Tina Fey.
I don't even know what these movies are. So try and get something that's not so obscure.
Vigilante back in 2008. No. ICU back in 2009.
No.
Goodbye Christopher Robin.
No,
but that's 2017.
No, these are all bullshit movies.
Then I don't know. You wouldn't have watched a rom-com like About Time.
No.
Back in 2013.
No, it's got to be...
Terminal in 2018.
No, why would I watch a movie called Terminal?
Who knows?
Do you know, I don't want movies
I, Tonya, that skating movie.
No, all right. I definitely wouldn't have watched that shit.
Oh, The Legend of Tarzan, she starred in that in 2016.
No, I didn't watch that either.
All right, well, never mind.
She did.
Oh, Suicide Squad, she also did that.
Yes, but that's...
2016 as well.
Okay.
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street.
There we go. Thank you.
There we go.
Carl, thank you, Carl. I was going to say Wolf of Wall Street, but then I was thinking of that other woman who played the wife in Billions. I keep mixing those up in
right.
my head.
Yeah.
Okay, Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of-
Fucking right. Carl got it right. Also, I'm looking forward to Mbolelo on Instagram this evening. Yes, just tell us about that quickly. Michelle wants to know.
Cool. So we will do a sports Q&A from 7 until 7:30 tonight.
Okay.
So you can catch us live on the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram.
All right. If you're a big sports fan, do this because I know Instagram Live is a great place to do these Q&As and to have real interaction. And also, if you just want to give Mbolelo shit, that's a good time to do it. What time?
Absolutely. 7 till 7:30.
All right. Watch the trolls come. Hey, all, since it's the burning platform today, says Michelle, have any of you heard anything further about the case brought by Basani Baloyi against the public prosecutor? I haven't, actually. To be honest, I'm reading less. I'm less useful to you than usual at the moment because of politics not being my flavor. But I will do my work, I promise.
Lovely.
All right. Then there are a few more. The Wolf of Wall Street, Wolf of Wall Street, people filling us in. On The Wolf of Wall Street, that was the movie that Margot Robbie was in. And thank you for all that, because I could not remember whether it was that or something else. So congratulations to everyone who messaged on that one and helped me to remember, jog my memory. There was some drama, and it went around in our office. The story spread about our industry. It was called Saladgate. Really, really funny. Maybe don't mention my company's name. Yeah, and then there's some screenshots. People saying like, hi all, I was advised I was overly harsh with my email. You see, this is always what happens.
Ooh.
I'm vegan. My food is hand prepared at home for me. My salad dressing is made a few days before. I know the life of ultra privilege. So apology for losing my cool, lashing out at whoever the person is who contravenes every single value of our company. I will try my best to be more. Well, he says this is the guy who's apologizing now. He's saying I contravened those rules. I will try my best to be more tolerant of thieves in the future.
Oh, wow.
Passive aggressive.
Mm. Just found out it could have been an honest mistake. You know, this is the problem with email, right? Is there's a record.
Mm.
And if you get into... I love it. So the first email that this guy sent to all of his employees is about his salad. And it goes... If I find out who did this, you will not be working here 1 minute longer.
Oh,
if anyone
goodness.
Saw someone helping themselves to my salad dressing, please let me know. Fuck me.
He could have just been hangry.
Yeah.
He was hangry.
Yeah, that should be excusable.
Saladgate.
You know where he lost? It's completely his fault. First of all, he's a vegan, so already one step down. But second, take the Jane method. You know why Jane's method always wins?
Why? What's the Jane method, by the way?
Deal with it right there and then.
All
right. And there's never any room for anyone to lie and for you to make things up. Jane's way is, let's deal with it now.
And deal with it in person.
Exactly.
But then again, there's like 10 of us here, so how do you lie here?
No, you can't lie. People will find you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could have all lied and Jane could have never known. If I'd said no, it could have been,
That we wouldn't be here today.
No.
Yeah.
But I like that approach. Let's deal with it. Let's put it on the table.
Funeral.
Yeah.
you would have all had to die
tragically.
Yes.
Over a bottle of Coke.
Yes, yeah. I'm telling you, like, this is the kind of thing that happens in this place. People will die over a bottle of Coke.
That doesn't sound all too crazy to me.
All right, there's some interesting stuff coming through that is worth mentioning here.
So, Gareth, what are we talking about?
No, someone wants to criticize you. Let me...
No, please. By
this
all
is
means.
Barry, who's blind. He says, make Mbulelo go, yeah! He sounds so sincere when he does that. Also, his laugh, so sincere. I think he's being sarcastic.
Yeah, thanks, Barry.
I couldn't give a flying fuck about sport, but Mbulelo is quite informative, coming from me being a novice, nevertheless. Well, that's the point, right? Sports reports I've never listened to in my life. If it's not entertaining, I'm not even going to notice it was there or it wasn't. You guys didn't know about the battery theft at the cell phone towers. This came up in the news yesterday. It's been going on for years. Cell phone companies get lots of ex-policemen working for them. They mostly export in bulk, not the ex-policemen, but the thieves. Especially with LS, it's a huge problem. Sia, phone the police. You will get your phone if you get the right cop. It's like walking into a shop, bank, or whatever other place. If you get the right cop, you will get your phone back. Just saying, I've been with the police for 30 years anyway. Mm-hmm. Love you all. Thanks for the show. All the time you take to make it entertaining for us. Thank you, Barry. All right, Barry. Thanks very much,
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Barry.
Yeah.
But this whole phone story evolving so much is making me think, heaven forbid, what will happen when I die? Like, I'll die today. You guys will announce it on the show. Someone will listen to the podcast 2 months later. Like, oh, I've only just realized he is dead.
And relive the grief.
Yes. We'll be reliving my death every day here.
Yeah. Will someone please give us a Bachelor update? I watched on Catch Up last night. The girls are going to blow the whole show up. That Jillian receptionist girl is going to slay those others. The soldier is going to kick ass, but there's a girl whose name no one can pronounce. She's so spicy, we need a review. Okay, so there's a request from Anushka. She wants to know what's going on The Bachelor. Anyone?
All right, let's do one tomorrow, because there's a new episode tonight.
Yeah, and Leanne can join in. She watches, and she's usually got the best criticism of The Bachelor, so the butcher. So let's see what she has to say. Okay, shall we get into the five things you need to know? We've got so much to do today, and you know, along with obviously the burning platform this morning, there's going to be a lot of news. So let's take a look at some of the stuff that's going on. By the way, I've got a couple of apps on my phone that have made the news so much easier. And obviously everybody has their preferred sources, but I've got one or two here that I use now more often than not. Like Google News is quite useful. Ever used that?
I haven't.
Well, let's start with that, for example. There's a possibility of load shedding for today, according to Eskom. They say rotational blackouts are a possibility for Thursday due to capacity shortage and unplanned breakdowns. We remind customers the system, blah, blah, blah. You know what that means. So just be ready in case, because today could be one of those.
And we hope a cell battery hasn't been stolen in your area, because we'll be out of electricity and no phone connection.
Right. ENCA journalists were robbed at gunpoint. Yes. Xoli Mngabi and his producer and cameraman were robbed at gunpoint in Mamelodi.
Hasn't this happened before?
It happened live on TV once.
Yes.
With Vuyomvoko.
So they need a cleansing, hey?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, they need a sangoma to come in and do a little.
That's going to work.
Who, all journalists?
I think so at this point.
They were filming a feature in Mamelodi East when three armed men confronted them. The getaway car was a VW Polo, no registration. A case has been opened at the Mamelodi police station. And there was obviously lots on social media about this. Thank you for all the messages of support. Blah, blah, blah. But no one was killed, and I think they stole some equipment. Still a horrible story. I mean, this should happen. You know, that someone can be
This shouldn't happen.
No, well, that this should happen is ridiculous.
Oh.
Several Uber and Bolt drivers plot their next move after companies fail to accept their demands. Several Uber and Bolt drivers are plotting their next move. Officials from the e-hailing companies ignored them and their demands on Wednesday. The drivers took part in a protest on Wednesday morning over safety issues and drove in convoy from Zoo Lake to Sandton. Ooh, they're also angry over what they were calling non-ending promotions, which forced them to transport customers for free. Well, then quit. You know, Here's the thing about the free market, everybody, is no one is holding a gun to your head saying you have to work for that person. If you think you're better than that, and if you think you deserve more, use the law of 2 feet. Get up and walk out. You can quit any time. There are a lot of laws, Pinky will back me up on this, that protect workers. You have the decision in your hands all the time. But if you think you can go to the business and say to the business, now you must change all of your rules to accommodate my desires. If that's how you really feel, start your own business. And let's see if other people come to you. It's really like it's a level playing field. Everybody in South Africa, it's the land of opportunity, mm-hmm. especially now because there's so much need in society. Go out there and if you think you can do better than the job you're in, start your own. Most people will fail because it's not easy. And if you are working for somebody and you think they're a douchebag, just leave. Like it's the best feeling in the world. And of course, it's not going to be easy to find something else to do. But what are you going to do? Be a slave? Go work for someone. And if you don't want to work for someone, work for yourself. If you don't want to work for yourself, work for someone else.
And once again, how are the rest of us involved in this?
I know, but this is what always happens in unions and you've got people protesting and like, don't block the roads for the rest of us. We're not going to use less or more of your service. And we're not interested in the terms and conditions of your employment with your boss. Don't involve South Africa. Most of us are trying to fetch kids, go to the shops, do chores, make deliveries, go to meetings. Get shit done, you know? We don't need to know what Bolt and Uber are doing with their bosses and their customers and their drivers. Who gives a shit? Like, really and truly, the fact that you think you're so important, that your protest is important enough to get in my way or anyone else's way, who do you think you are? This economy does not have space for people who are that self-important. A duo were arrested after they were bust with dacha worth 1.5 million rand in the Northern Cape. The Northern Cape? Yeah, they
That's
found
the
it.
That's the Kimberley area, right?
Yeah, they found it in their vehicle on Wednesday in Upington, not Kimberley. Yeah. Upington police followed up on information on drug trafficking on the N1. But, I mean,
is Say it that?
I don't know that anyone in Upington can afford even weed. Terrible place.
Yo, there's nothing to do in Upington.
They're probably taking it up to Namibia.
Probably. Oh. Vehicle was searched. Police found 200 kilograms of dacha worth 1.5 million rand. That's amazing. 200 kilograms, a lot of dacha.
How the hell are you transporting 200 kilograms of weed?
Well, you're going to need a fairly big vehicle, right?
It's mental.
Anyway, they forced the driver to pull over. Occupants made a run for it. The police said the duo didn't make it far before officers caught up with... Don't stop your car on the side of the road, jump out like you see in the movies, and try and run into the fields.
And everything is arid in the Northern Cape.
Yes. So you they can shoot at you from 500 meters away and they'll still hit
you. The plains are very flat. Yes.
There's nowhere to hide.
You don't have like, lush greenery.
Exactly. And it's like 50 degrees, right? If you haven't been to Upington,
oh, yeah.
I remember once in primary school, they cancelled the cricket match like an hour into it.
Because it was
like,
too hot.
Yeah, like white guys melting everywhere. It's hilarious.
They probably ran 50 meters and were surrendering. Like, okay.
I remember this one parent, like the Sally you're imagining, just like, her son had heat stroke. Stop it now. Oh, my God.
You had a girl in your team called Sally who...
No, the mom's Sally.
Oh, right.
But what would be wrong with a woman in our team, Gareth? It's 2020.
I don't have a problem, Bulelo. Don't look
for
trouble.
He was just clarifying.
So here's Sia's favorite story of the morning, even though... He didn't know I was going to bring it up, but according to a report, Queen Elizabeth has banned Harry and Meghan from using their Sussex royal brand.
Petty.
The couple who decided to step down and have spent the last couple of weeks in Canada have already spent tens of thousands of pounds on the new Sussex royal website to supplement their Instagram page. Here we go. You guys think celebrity's easy. Royal family was a breeze compared to celebrity because now you're competing with all those other schlubs out there. So now, following lengthy talks, the Queen has decided the Duke and Duchess cannot retain the word royal in their brand. Sorry. Take it away, baby.
I mean, this could have been clarified in the conversations they had a few weeks
ago. Well, they didn't hang around long enough to have these conversations because they just wanted to get away. Remember? We're going to live our best lives. We're going to get out of here. These two douchebags.
Now they've trademarked everything.
These two are such losers. I can guarantee you now they're going to be an embarrassment for the rest of their lives. Traipsing around, trying to get money out of people. Going from party to party. Pseudo-celebrities. They might get work. They might have money. But no one's going to take them seriously. The most seriously those two will ever be taken was when they were still in the royal family.
Oh, shame.
Dummies. They're such dummies. They really are dummies.
The now Sussexes.
Now they're in Canada.
Not the Sussex royals.
Well, we finally got away from all the paparazzi. Ugh.
But what? Now they, instead of being worth 100 million, now they're worth 50 million for the rest of their life. Like, who cares?
It's that they're just Harry and Meghan. Yeah. And now they may as well be, you know, any Hollywood couple.
The reason why I think this is petty is, but Prince Harry, well, Harry grew up royal. He is a prince, even by blood. Ah. So can't we keep that?
If the queen says you're not, you're not.
Yeah. No, it's her, it's really is her world and we all live in it.
Exactly. She can take away that which was given can also be taken
away. Sure. Sure.
And she's taking that away. She says, if they aren't carrying out official duties and are now seeking other commercial opportunities, they can't be marketing themselves as royal.
I hope the...
The Duke and Duchess, who are parents to nine-month-old Archie, first launched their Royal Sussex brand in 2019 in an attempt to split their household from that of William and Kate, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, who are still royal. The decision to close their Buckingham Palace office came amid speculation that they plan to spend the majority of their time in North America. While the details are still being finalized and efforts being made to redeploy people within the household, and they just fired a bunch of their people. Like, Meghan and Harry walked into the room and said, right, you 15, you're now unemployed.
No, I heard they were redeployed within...
Some of them lost their jobs.
Excellent. Sure. Excellent. It's about time that the British taxpayer doesn't have to pay for people to do sweet blow all for the whole day. Get rid of the whole royal family.
Well, it's unclear how many of those people the Queen was paying for out of her own money.
Just get rid of all of it. Why do we still have royal families?
You think we should just get rid of all of them?
Pathetic. They do nothing, and they live off the taxpayer and are trillionaires. For what?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure that Mbulelo made himself very clear there that we're not sure how he stands on the royal family matter.
Do me a favor, and then we think Uber drivers are bad people. These people have been living off the taxpayer for hundreds of years.
Good point.
It's disgusting.
Item number 31 on the list, things Mbulelo hates, the royals.
Well, these Uber drivers are idiots. They work for a virtual company. This is a message from Lindy. Lindy says, who the hell sees them toy-toying? Because it's virtual. But only in SA, I guess. Please give us 5 minutes heads up before the Bachelor update. Some of us can jump into the shower. Oh, no, I'm not. No. No, the point of podcasting is you can rewind and fast forward. I'm not going to do what I do on radio and... Okay, everybody, in the next 10 minutes, we've got a competition coming up, so make sure you're right at the phone and take down this number.
But remember, you used to do spoiler alerts.
Oh, what is anyone really like then? So hooked up in The Bachelor that they don't want a spoiler alert? Oh my God, you mean she was the one who was thrown out this week? Fuck off.
Having said that, who sent that message, Gareth? Because I've got a similar story as a sports fan about something that I once did and people think I'm crazy.
David.
So David, I'm kind of with you. I know what David's saying because I once broke up with a girl because she once said to me, what's the difference between watching a football game live or you can just watch the game later? And I had to let her go. So I hear you. It's not the same hearing it live or later. You got to hear it when it happens. Yes, that happened. Don't tell me I can watch the game later. I want to watch it live.
Oh. Yeah, I don't care to watch it live or later. I'm so proud of myself now because these days when people start talking about sport or they come up to you and, you know, like a lot of South African men are like, yo, can you believe that match yesterday? And I'm like, what? And I used to play along. I used to actually put up like a, I'd pretend to give a shit about rugby or cricket or soccer. Or, I mean, I still like the World Cup football, don't get me wrong. But everything else, I could care less. someone comes up to me when you and Gord go off at each other about Liverpool or Man City, or like you could be speaking Greek and it would mean as much to me. I do not give a shit. I love telling people I don't give a shit now. And you see the look on their face, because every other hot-blooded male in South Africa has to know this stuff. It's like, it's essential. Mm. You know, it's like politicians not knowing which minister is the deputy minister for agriculture. They're like, oh, you don't know. Now when people come up to me about sport, I'm like, yeah, you're fishing in the wrong place here, I'm afraid.
So you just tell them to keep it moving?
I just say, I'm you're talking to the wrong guy. I don't care. I don't care about that stuff. If that whole team were in that plane accident in the Andes where they had to eat each other, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know then what their names were.
And you save yourself so much pain, you know?
Yeah.
Don't need to pretend.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not going to tell people I care about things if I don't care about them. It took me a long time to realize that. We all do this, though. Oh, really? And how are your children? Mm. Oh, please.
Yeah,
if I don't know your kids and I don't know you well, for me to ask about your kids is never going to happen. In other words, if I do ask you about your kids, I actually care. How about that? Isn't that great? Honesty?
I love it. Love it.
Right.
It's like, I don't know if you guys or anybody out there has ever been to a party. And if I'm with someone, the most frustrating thing in the world is if you're at a party for a while and you kind of meet everybody a little bit, people feel compelled to go say goodbye to everyone.
Oh, no.
I'm just like, I'm going to say goodbye to the two people I want. I'm going to wait at the door.
Yeah. Ninja.
Or not even ninja.
Disappear.
If you're with somebody, you know, you can't just leave or you're catching an Uber together or whatever. It's like, for me, I'm just like, okay, two people I know, goodbye. I've done that. I'm going to wait at the door and leave.
Well,
I don't want to say, oh, nice to meet you. I don't know you.
I think we've got to pull Sia into this because he's probably got a different way of doing things. I think it's probably rude to leave without saying goodbye to the host.
No, but like, cheers. Okay, thank you for having me, but not, oh, nice to meet you. We should meet up. Your house is unbelievable. Oh, my God.
No, don't say things you don't mean, but there's also decorum and pleasantries, I think.
Sia's good at this stuff. I've seen him. He can walk the line between saying goodbye and getting out, which he's good at, but also he's not rude. Like, I think maybe you and I sometimes come across as rude, Bulano. Maybe you also, Pinky, because people are like, oh, did Pinky leave? She just left.
Even though, Gareth, I know there are a couple of times you've had to wait for me outside because you know.
And these long goodbyes and his air kisses. And then he's like, oh, it was so fabulous.
Bye, darling. That's great to see you. See you. Bye-bye now.
No.
Okay.
You should see Sia at these embassy things. He loves those. He flits around, social butterfly mode. Meets everybody, remembers all their names. It's impressive. All right.
Different way to do it.
I feel outnumbered this
David
morning.
David says, the reason I asked for you to give us a heads up before the Bachelor update is so I can avoid it, not so I can listen to it. All right. Thank you. The Royals do less damage to England than one single ANC MP does to South Africa. It's not like the Royals are sinking their country with ineptitude and immorality. Mm. And they actually bring in money. That's a good point from Graham. They do bring in money. Like, people wouldn't go and see these castles and these palaces, and they wouldn't go to events like Trooping the Colour, because there wouldn't be any if there weren't live Royals. So sometimes you kind of have to weigh it up. Plus, it's quirky and weird, and it's what makes England different. The rest of Europe, otherwise it would be like the rest of Scandinavia, for example. They have kings and queens, but nobody cares. Like, you could walk past King Carl Gustaf of Sweden.
Just like shopping at the mall.
Yeah, and he rides, I think it's the Dutch king, Wilhelm, who like rides around on his bicycle. And people like, hello, koning. He's like, ja, dit is een ware paradijs vandaag, hè? But he's wearing a pair of cycling shorts and he's riding through town.
but you can't walk past Princess Charlene because
she's locked up in Monaco.
You can't see her around.
Mm. You can see her through the bars of her cell at the top room of. It's like Rapunzel.
Did you see? Oh, this is so horrible. Okay. But did you see the video that she released for her foundation? It was around Christmas time.
Tell me about that.
And it was her speaking directly to camera, speaking about her foundation and wishing everyone a happy festive season.
Was she giving hand signals?
Season.
Like, rescue me?
The background of this room.
Yes. Was it just like a prison cell?
It really did look like a prison cell. It was just like this cold looking brick.
Shit.
Nothing pristine or palace-y at all. I really do think it was.
It's the real Snow White. There's like a... There's probably some wicked stepmother in the basement who's got a laboratory full of potions and a mirror on the wall. And, you know, Charlene is like the girl who married the prince, but then she realized she's in prison.
Mm. Mm.
God, I mean, I want to like her, and she's been out here in South Africa a couple of times, does great work for charity. She really does. She's a big fan of swimming, and obviously she used to be a swimmer. So she supports lots of South African swimming charities, and she gets involved in many sports organizations all over the world. But I don't know that this what's his name? The Prince?
Albert.
I don't know if he's such a good guy, to be honest. Like, we tease Charlene, but she seems to me like she's done okay in life. She's, you know, produced two kids for him. And whether or not she's happy in every photograph, because she definitely isn't, it's none of our business. But this guy, this Albert, he's a strange guy, huh?
I've also never seen look so somber.
Yeah, they're even somber. The children. They're cute little kids, by the way.
But I don't see them skip anywhere. I don't see them.
They're like the most serious kids in the world. No.
Something's,
I mean, this let's be clear, this is all speculation.
Conjecture, yeah.
No, we have no idea of what's really going on there.
But we have eyes.
Prince Albert. She's also an Olympic swimmer. Like, that's, she's really elite. Like, Olympic swimmer,
oh, yes.
And I'm going to marry a prince.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now the head of a principality.
None of us have done as well as she has.
No.
So let's be clear.
She's like in the 1%, Olympian, and I married Prince Albert.
And she's a great-looking woman, too.
Good for her.
She's obviously very capable, and I just don't get the impression she's having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, I think, you know, Kate Middleton, she totally figured out what she was in for there. She married William. She's got the exact personality for a future queen. Like, she just fits in. Does everything right, doesn't cause any ructions. You never read. I think if William was having sex with every other woman in England, Kate would smile and wave and pretend nothing was wrong.
She'd go on to get along.
Which is what you need to do if you're a queen of England, because as all the wives of Henry VIII discovered, any other path will either end you on the execution block or divorce. Oh. So... it's just no. She's figured it out, and she pretends to be happy, or she is happy. Who knows? Because it isn't the bed of roses that everybody thinks it is. You're constantly on show. You're playing a role, which is why we thought Meghan Markle would be so good at this, but she's lazy. No, she is lazy. She doesn't want to put on the act all day. She's like, I used to get paid for this, and then we'd like shut down the set of Suits, and I'd go home. Now I have to put on this act all day. Harry, it's not fair. He's like,
oh, but come on, you know, it's really fun. I've grown up like this my whole life. I know exactly what to do. Just smile and point at those people and wave.
I'm fucking sick of this, Harry. I'm telling you, that's what's happened. But this Charlene, whew.
Poor girl. I think the highlight of her day is if she accidentally puts... Oh, three God. Cubes of sugar.
We got a pinky stalker. Tato sent this picture of himself. Do you like the look of Tato? Pinky got glasses, by the way.
Took them off.
She's wearing spectacles so she doesn't have to see Tato up close. But he sent us a picture and he says, it's lovely hearing girlfriend's voice, Pinky.
Okay.
I like the name, though.
Bulelo, the royal family, cost the Brit taxpayer about £1 a year. Big deal.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, I mean, Cyril must cost us way more than that. When we leave, I can tell my wife 20 minutes earlier because she takes forever, Gary. Yes, Gary, this is a complaint that many men all over the world have all their lives. So good luck, Gary. You decided to get married.
But you know what I hate about that? All men know that it's going to happen. She's going to be late. So I hate it when they push you. So if you're going to pick me up at 7, you should get it like 7:15. If you get there at 7, oh no, we're going to have a problem.
But Pinky, can't you then... See, that's your fault.
Oh, no.
It's not his fault.
I don't think... We don't do it on purpose. It just happens.
Well, then set your clock 15 minutes earlier.
Okay.
But this is solid advice. So if I'm going to pick you up at 7, should I be saying 6:30? Is it on me now to...
Yeah, yes. That's smart.
Okay.
That's really good. Smart, yeah. But you getting there and being like, oh, you're not ready. Oh.
No good.
Don't do that.
These are the lessons.
That's very helpful. That is actually really helpful information.
Yeah. No, these really are the lessons.
All right. Well, good luck, Gary. That's all the info we can give you and all the advice that we're any good for. This is from Brandon. Brandon says, I'd get invited for drinks at work. I ask what time I should be there for decorations. Then I ninja out of the back door. I couldn't give a shit. Yes. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Gareth, your Meghan and Harry impersonation is totally based on the Windsor series. It's hilarious. Yes, that is a great series. You need to watch it if you haven't. It's really funny. I don't know if they've got... I can't remember if they have Meghan in it or not. But I know they have Kate. And the Harry is such a funny character because he's like constantly drunk. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. All right, so that's all the royals we have time for today.
Yeah.
All right, Mbulelo, do you want to give us some sport?
Yeah, we'll do a quick wrap
got
up.
Got some of that? All right, take it away.
All righty.
Go on. Don't fuck around.
For the hot-blooded men, as they've been named in South Africa, the Springboks schedule is out. So save all that money. Stop spending it on your girlfriend or your wife or both, if you have both. It's time to start planning and getting those tickets. The box schedule is out for 2020. It's been released. And the World Sports Team of the Year will play 13 tests this year, starting on the 4th of July. We've got Scotland twice. And Georgia of all teams. So we'll have them at home. And then the best international rugby tournament in the world, the Rugby Championship, of course, will follow that. And at the end of the year, we'll go over to Europe to play all those slow white guys and run over them. Because we got, I told you, the X-Men of white guys, Afrikaans people. God, I love it. We're never going to have a bad rugby team. So long as we've got the Kok and all these guys, we're going to be all right. So, right. Yeah, that's cool. End of the year. We'll head to Europe. The season is also about stabilizing the brand. I think it's really important for people to understand that the Springbok brand has been in trouble for a long time. And that has economic ramifications, of course. We can't keep our best players, but I think we can springboard off being world champions. So that's really, really important. So the Boks have to parade themselves this year and sell that brand. Galicia has been on the charm offensive. I'm sure you've seen him globe-trotting everywhere. Now we got to back it up on the pitch. Good luck to the boys. And for the players, of course, next year you have the honor of playing what I think is the most important rugby tournament or competition in the world. When we play the British Lions, only comes around once every 12 years for each team. So that's very, very important. British and Irish Lions, so good luck to the box this year. And lastly, a bit of boxing. This weekend, the biggest fight of the year will be in Las Vegas. Wilder Fury Part 2. If you didn't see Part 1, it is happening again at the mecca of boxing, of course, Sin City, Las Vegas, at the very famous, world famous, The Garden.
When is that?
That is on the 22nd. So it'll be on Sunday morning, South African time.
Okay.
5 a.m. usually you can wake up for that.
See how I pretended to care?
Yeah. Jeez. Gareth, you're like a woman in a loveless marriage.
Right.
Just pretending to keep.
Hey, honey, how was your
there
day?
There it is. There it is. Fantastic. And if you didn't see the first fight, by the way, Tyson Fury got knocked down twice and he got up. It's an unbelievable thing. If you were into wrestling when you were younger, did you ever see
that? I get knocked down, but I get up again. That's all I could think of when you said that.
Who's that? Arno Costins, eh?
No.
And the Springbok New Girl.
Chumbawamba.
Oh, well, Chumbawamba.
You're him.
The Springbok New Girls did a great cover of that, Gareth.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can find it. But anyway, Tyson Fury got up like The Undertaker, if you ever watched wrestling. Don't know if you saw that. He got up twice. And he got knocked down. And he still won that fight. He got robbed, by the way. So big thing in boxing, people get robbed. And some people don't understand how boxing scoring works. I'll explain that sometime, maybe a bit later. But he really should have won that first fight. Really, really exciting because there's a guy called Anthony Joshua who's waiting in the wings who has the other titles. And if you love boxing, you've got to watch this. It's going to be an unbelievable fight. So Vegas, 5 a.m. South African time, heavyweight boxing. At its finest, that's your sport for today.
All right. Thank you very much. It is 6 minutes to seven. What's happening?
What I do know about Tyson Fury, by the way.
You talked to
me. I know something about Tyson Fury. Okay.
This will also intrigue people who aren't sport lovers.
Okay.
just YouTube him singing to his wife after matches.
Oh, oh,
and
he does.
Anthony Joshua, he's quite cute.
Oh,
that's what I meant here.
Look, we could do a sports report.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Joshua looks like a bodybuilder.
Tell me.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's
a UK guy, right?
He's
based, yes.
Nigerian, UK, and he's the biggest star in boxing along with a guy called Canelo Alvarez, but he's the attraction.
Oh,
and ladies love Anthony, that's for sure.
Well, isn't that exciting?
Ladies,
we have the Burning Platform coming up next. Speaking of exciting, because that is exciting. And usually in the morning, we unpack a couple of the issues going on in current affairs, some of the big news stories, some of the political stories of the week. There is lots to cover today. It's just one of those days, right? And we're going to have Stevens Mokgalapa. No?
No.
Oh,
no.
Jesus.
I know.
When did this happen?
This morning.
I'm so glad he's not mayor of Tswane anymore. Otherwise, the same thing would be happening with services. Well.
I move on.
So, we all right. Hard. So, Canton's
yeah.
coming in?
Yeah.
All right. Thank God that hasn't changed. And the State Security Agency evaluator, Nokungqoba Dlamini, told the Zondo Commission of Inquiry in evidence that the law required SA executives be vetted by security.
Ooh. Wow.
There's going to be lots to talk about. And Canton will no doubt supply plenty of controversy in the mix too. That's all coming up. Very exciting. Plus, we've got to talk about the State of the Nation address, the replies to the State of the Nation, because that was this week last time, or last time this week. And we didn't get to talk about Cyril's fantastic speech. So we'll be finding out all about that and the replies to the Sona in the next hour in the Burning Platform right here on CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.